So there's a lot of mercy. I have 17 verses to cover here, and it's a lot of verses, a lot of details, a lot of purpose.
Like
so
minutes.
I'm going to...
In 15 minutes.
I can do it as long as you can grasp it. I'll just go fast.
Don't speak for me.
Anyway, Hare Krishna. So there are a lot of details in this, but the essence of... So I'm just going to focus on the main theme in the interest of time. I'll touch upon some things from Srila Prabhupada, other things from Srila Prabhupada's purport, but I'm just going to focus on the main theme, which is applying the mind on the universal form for purification. Why is that recommended? How that one should be done? And what does it mean for devotees? So I'm going to stress more on that. Some points here and there, I'll keep mentioning it. And the way I'm going to do it is that there are 17 verses here. In the interest of time, again, I'm not going to chant the Sanskrit of all of them. We will read the translations. And I've grouped the verses. I've put 16 verses together. So we will read them at a stretch. And then all that is there from Srila Prabhupada's purpose that is connected to that theme, we will discuss it at the end. So we have the chapter theme that has been covered by Ved Narayan Prabhu and Shamla Mataji. So Parikshit Maharaj is asking in the last few verses of the first canto that, what is the duty of a person about to die? And then this chapter is titled The First Step in God Realization. And immediately, Sukadev Goswami starts speaking about the importance of hearing and chanting. A lot of verses focused on that. And how we should not be wasting our time. And then there's the example of Maharaj Khatvanga. All those things are there. And then you leave the home in renunciation. And you focus on your spiritual life. And then he says that by meditation, by chanting the mantra Om, and also by meditation on the different limbs of Vishnu, one will be able to get God realization. And then he says that you have to overcome those dirty things because the mind is so full of passion. So then Parikshit Maharaj asks that, this is like, how does one overcome these dirty things of the mind? Because only when the dirty things of the mind are removed can one focus on the form of the Lord. So this entire section is about Sukadev Goswami answering Parikshit Maharaj's question. And it's about, for the materialist, it's about focusing on the universal form. So this is the section theme. He describes a purifying process which is based on pantheism, through which the materialistic persons can see the Lord while viewing the material world. I'm going to go very quickly through this one because this is explained in detail later on. And so pantheism is a doctrine that identifies God with each object in the universe. And even people from, like the Greek and Roman philosophers have come up with these things. There were some philosophers who said that God, matter and spirit is one, but then there were some philosophers who came and challenged that matter and spirit are separate, and they suggested pantheism. And so Prabhupada is basically talking about this thing, throughout, from right from the 16th verse, the 15th verse. So I just got a very good summary to explain the section theme. So you check the mind from materialism by training it to see everything as Vishnu. So that's at a lower level of pantheism, an immature form of pantheism. The next level of that is good, but then the next level of that is you gradually see everything spiritual connection with the Lord, with Vishnu. And then the third level is you use everything in service of the Lord. And it's important to have that service attitude. It's not just you meditate on the universal form, but it's important to cultivate that service attitude. So these four points Prabhupada has explained throughout all of his purports in this particular section. So we will go to text 22 and we will just read the translation. The fortunate king Parikshit, inquiring further, said, O Brahmana, please describe in full detail how and where the mind has to be applied and how the conception can be fixed so that the dirty things in a person's mind can be removed. So the mind cannot be fixed when it is scattered. Scatterbrains, we cannot focus, right? And to try to focus, we make our children also do, okay, don't think about these things right now. You focus on the task at hand. Don't bother about this. Just focus on the task at hand. But it's very hard for a materialist to do that because the desires pull us in different directions. The desires to enjoy, the desires to make money, the desires to do these things. It pulls us in different directions. So it becomes very hard for a materialistic mind to focus. And it's all because of the modes of passion and ignorance being very, very prominent that pull us in different directions. So desire and hankering is there because of which focus is a problem. So Parikshit Maharaj is asking this question for all of us. He's not asking this for himself because he has a personal relationship with the Lord. He's asking this question for the benefit of the men who are unable to focus. And because they're so materialistically inclined, they're not able to realize that there is a personal form of the Lord. like, you know, they're getting more and more and more covered by matter. So there's more and more and more ignorance. And there's more and more ignorance, there's more and more impersonalism. And I mean, we all experience it, right? We have this, you know, entire technology advancement and all of these things happening. We have gadgets, we have phones, we have cameras, we have iPads, Surface, like so many things. So many times we are more spending more time with our gadgets than the people around us. People are socializing more on Facebook than we are socializing in person. So all of these things, I mean, just to give you an example, it brings about some kind of impersonalism. So people are talking more on Facebook, but they're not talking so much more personally. So gradually, all of this materialistic civilization, the way it expands, it causes this mode of ignorance to come in. And it causes us to become more and more impersonal. And we are more and more, we're very far removed from the personal form of the Lord. So Parikshit Maharaj is asking this question. He already has a relationship with the Lord, but he's asking this question for all of our benefit. And then Prabhupada explains, what are the dirty things in the mind? They are the desires for enjoyment that we have accumulated for so many millions of lifetime put together. And there was an article, there was an article that Nitya Gaurang Prabhu shared on Vaishnav Seva about even watching TV. And if we, so there are 2 points there. One thing is we ourselves have executed these desires, and we ourselves have gained some experience from it, which we thought was pleasurable. So we are carrying those sanskars with us, life after life, and we think that is the way of life. And the second point is also just watching things around us puts the seed of that desire in us, and we have that seed that we want to try to make it into a plant, we want to enjoy that way. So all of these things are there, and they eventually keep us in the cycle of birth and death. They increase the bodily identification, and higher the bodily identification is, we're stuck in that cycle, we're not able to come out. So Parikshit Maharaj is asking, out of compassion for all of us, how can one remove the desires? And Prabhupada's answer to that question is, only by associating with the Supreme Lord and His potencies. So the universal form is all about associating with the Lord's potencies. And the potencies are not different from the potent. Like Abhinnatvam Nama Namino, the name and the person whose name we are taking is the same. Similarly, the potency of the Lord is not different from the potent, from the Lord Himself. So if we understand the potencies of the Lord, and we see it in connection with the Lord, then that way gradually the dirty things in the mind will be cleansed, and we will see how that happens. So text 23, Sukadev Goswami starts answering that question. Sukadev Goswami answered, one should control the sitting posture, regulate the breathing process by the yogic pranayam, and thus control the mind and senses with intelligence. Apply the mind to the gross potencies of the Lord, called the Virat Rupa. Because in text 20, he's talking about that you apply the mind on the different potencies of the Lord. So now he's going to get into the details of that. So we apply the mind to the gross potencies of the Lord, called as a Virat Rupa. So why does he stress on the yogic process? Because Prabhupada tells in the purport that the materially molded mind, the way the mind is that it cannot think beyond the body as a self. It completely just understands everything related to the body and things of the body. And that is the world. It's like the frog. For the frog, the world is his own body and the well in which it lives. Cannot understand anything beyond that well. So similarly, because of this material conception that we have developed, and this desire, all because of the seed of desire to enjoy, we have this bodily concept of life, and the mind does not allow you to go beyond it. We cannot fathom of something beyond that. So yoga is prescribed here to first mold the character. Because by yoga, there is some level of mind control that can come. It makes you focus. It makes you focus on your breathing. So it removes lust, anger, greed, avarice. At the same time, Prabhupada warns that the universal form meditation is even recommended for the mystic yogi. Because sometimes in the yogic process, some people may go so advanced that they may just forget everything about the Lord, but they may go after mystic powers. So this yoga, along with conceiving of the universal form, of meditating upon the universal form, also protects the mystic yogis from the allurements of mystic yoga. Again, mystic yoga is all about manipulation of the material energy. It's not beyond that. So once the mystic yogis also are able to meditate on the universal form of the Lord, they see that, you know, all this manipulation that I want to do is basically, it's all under the control of the Lord. I am under the control of the Lord. Material energy is under the control of the Lord. Let me just focus on the Supreme Lord Himself. Text 24. This gigantic manifestation of the phenomenal material world as a whole is the personal body of the Absolute Truth. Entire material manifestation is a personal body of the Absolute Truth, wherein the universal resultant past, present and future of material time is experienced. So now Sukadeva Goswami, verse by verse, is explaining different aspects of the universal form. The gigantic universal form of the personality of Godhead within the body of the universal shell, which is covered by sevenfold material elements, is the subject for the Virat conception.
So, the Virat Roop seems to be moving. Are you doing some trick in your computer, or is it an
animated GIF?
Animated GIF?
Yeah, I just got this image and I put it.
Animated GIF. Yeah.
It looks nice. It's got that light, the effulgence is coming. So here he's telling what Virat conception. Every universe, there is a conception of the universal form. So the universal form is for that particular universe, and everything about the universe is there in the universal form. So he's talking that the gigantic universal form of the personality of Godhead within the body of the universal shell, which is covered by the sevenfold material elements, is the subject for the Virat conception. So, while meditating upon the universal form, one should be not misled by those posing as Lord Krishna, but are not able to act like him or exhibit the Virat Rupa. So, Prabhupada warns in the purport that as these materialists are trying to focus on the universal form of the Lord, they should not be misled by other people who are posing as Lord Krishna. Because this is the universal form is given as a challenge to those people. That, hey, can you exhibit a form like this if you're saying you're Lord Krishna? So there's a warning for the people who are meditating on the universal form that, you know, remember that the universal form is only one. Not anybody else who's posing as a Lord can have a universal form. They cannot be the Lord themselves. So text 26, persons who have realized it have studied that the planets known as Patala constitute the bottoms of the feet of the universal Lord, and the heels and toes are the Rasatal planets. The ankles are the Mahatal planets, and his shanks constitute the Talatal planets. The knees of the universal form are the planetary system of the name Sutala, and the two thighs are the Vitala and Atala planetary systems. The hips are Mahitala, and outer space is the depression of his navel. The chest of the original personality of the gigantic form is the luminary planetary system. His neck is the Mahar planets, his mouth is the Janas planets, and his forehead is the Tapas planetary system. The topmost planetary system, known as Satyaloka, is the head of he who has 1,000 heads. So then, talked about the different planetary systems, and now there is description of the devatas and the different senses, all of those things will come. His arms are the demigods headed by Indra. The 10 directional sides are his ears, and physical sound is his sense of hearing. His nostrils are the two Ashwini Kumaras, and material fragrance is his sense of smell. His mouth is the blazing fire. So here Prabhupada is telling that, you know, all these, even the demigods, are a part of the universal form. So they're all, like, you know, it's described here that they are a part of the universal form, and we all know that they're also coming from Krishna, from the personal form of the Lord. So for a materialist, Prabhupada is again giving the guideline there that they should not be worried about appeasing different devatas for getting different things, because the universal form contains all the dominated jivas and the dominated demigods. Everyone is dominated by the Lord himself. So then let us just worship the universal form and all our desires would be fulfilled. Prabhupada is trying to get the materialist to that point. Hey, don't get confused with going in so many different places. Just worship the universal form of the Lord. So therefore, worship of the universal form leads one to the right path without any confusion. Just puts points from Prabhupada's purport. Text 30. The sphere of outer spaces constitutes his eye pits, and the eyeball is the sun as a power of seeing. His eyelids are both the day and the night, and in the movements of his eyebrows, Brahma and similar supreme personalities reside. His palate is the director of water, Varuna, and the juice or essence of everything is his tongue. So in this particular purport, Prabhupada talks about common sense versus following what is there in the Shastras. So some places the sun is considered as the power of seeing, some places it is considered as eyeball, some places it is considered something else in the different descriptions. So then Prabhupada is telling that, you know, if you use your common sense, then you will see that there is contradiction here and there. So Prabhupada says, you don't have to worry about all these things. Don't worry about the details. Don't use your common sense when we are trying to read Shastra. Shastra is beyond common sense. Common sense is something in the material realm. Shastra is beyond that. So our job is to surrender to Shastra. So Prabhupada is trying to bring us to that point in this purport. And also from Radhakrishna Prabhu class, he said that the Lord, like, you know, here we are talking about his, like, you know, the sense of tasting, smelling and seeing. So here Radha Krishna Prabhu is telling that the Lord tastes, sees and smells everything before we taste or see or smell everything as a super soul. So everything first he is experiencing, then we are experiencing. So in understanding this way, or like, this is one more like addition or one more aspect to this thing. If we understand like this also, we will be conscious of the Lord at most times. 31. They say that the Vedic hymns are the cerebral passage of the Lord, and his jaws of teeth are Yama, god of death, who punishes the sinners. The art of affection is his set of teeth, and the most alluring illusory material energy is his smile. This great ocean of material creation is but the casting of his glance over us. So something as huge as the material creation, something as huge as this, you know, something that we identify with so very strongly, that we are so much consumed by it, it is just the Lord's glance. There is so much more to the Lord than just this entire material creation that we have. 32. Modesty is the upper portion of his lips, hankering his chin. Religion is the breast of the Lord, and irreligion is his back. Brahmaji, who generates all living beings in the material world, is his genitals, and the Mitra Varunas are his two testicles. The ocean is his waist, and the hills and mountains are the stacks of his bones. Again, you see a mountain, you see a hill, oh, this is the Lord's, the universal form, stacks of his bones. You see the ocean, you remember the Lord's base. So like that, if we remember, you see some modesty in somebody, you say, oh, that is also an aspect of the Lord. You see hankering in yourself or in others, you see, oh, that's also there, you know, part of the universal. You will be able to remember the Lord like this in all of these things. Text 34. Oh, was there a... Okay, text 34. Oh, best among the Kurus, the clouds which carry water are the hairs on his head. The terminations of days or nights are his dress. And the supreme cause of material creation is his intelligence. His mind is the moon, the reservoir of all challenges. Right?
All changes.
But two things here. I think when you go to an astrologer, like when, you know, your mind is not... they usually say the moon planet is weak. Do you remember, like... At least that's what I've heard from the astrologers I've met. They said the moon is weak. So it's not, you know, if the Lord is not blessing you, then you cannot have a strong mind. You cannot have a mind that can... So if your mind is weak, it's like the moon planet, and it's saying over here, his mind is the moon. And also I remember, like, when my mother used to go for these satsangs and to hear in different temples, and then sometimes she would come and tell me and my brother what she learned over there. We would be playing down, and then she would go for her satsang sometimes. And then I remember her giving us the description that the clouds are the hairs of the Lord.
So basically, you know, Chandra Grahame Dosh hai, that's what the astrologers say. But for somebody who is taken to the path of devotion service, then
yes,
Dosh should not be affecting that much.
Yes. Yes, probably. Huh?
So why worry?
Yeah, why worry? But I'm just trying to correlate this, the universal form, with what we hear outside. That it's a blessing of the Lord. Again, that mind is also, it's a moon, mind, and your own mind. It's like connected like that.
That's where the term lunatic comes from. Lunar.
Oh, wow.
So even the Greeks believe that the mind is controlled by moon demigod.
Oh, really?
Lunatic.
Is it that the effect will be there, but you are in the devotional service, so you don't really focus on the, or feel the effect. You are
because the mind is again focused on the... we have to try to get out of our mind. It's come on. Anyway, interest of time, I need to move forward. So text 35. Anyway, I was telling, my mother used to tell us these things, and then I remember when my brother and I used to play, and then when we would see the clouds, and then my brother would say, see, that is, you know, like, we were very small, like, he was probably 7, I was 5, and then I remember him telling me, see, mommy said this to us, this is the hair of the Lord. Like, we used to keep pointing at things like that when she told us, I mean, for some time, till we remembered. Text 35. The principle of matter, Mahatattva, is the consciousness of the omnipresent Lord, as asserted by the experts, and Rudradev is his ego. The horse, mule, camel and elephant are his nails, and wild animals and all quadrupeds are situated in the belt zone of the Lord. So then when we understand these things, that, you know, all these animals also, all the other living entities also have a place in the Lord, then we start developing compassion towards them. That's explained in the purport.
So in the Urdu Mula Madhashakam, the animals are described as tips of the leaves or something like that?
No, there's no animal there. Vedas.
So that's different analogy.
Yeah. Text 36. Varieties of birds are indications of his masterful artistic sense. Manu, the father of mankind, is the emblem of his standard intelligence, and humanity is his residence. The celestial species of human beings, like the Gandharvas, Vidyadharas, Charanas, and angels, all represent his musical rhythm, and the demoniac soldiers are representations of his wonderful prowess. So how can the Lord be considered impersonal? That's what is Prabhupada is writing in the purport. That his musical, he has a musical taste, he has an artistic sense, and there is he has standard intelligence, and it's none of these are fallible. Like our artistic sense and all these things may end with the faculties of the body. You know, even as the body starts growing older, you don't have hand-eye coordination. You're not able to do certain things. Even in this lifetime, we can see an end of our own faculties. So, but the Lord's faculties, none of them are fallible. So, and they are different signs of his supreme personality. When we know somebody has an artistic sense, it's a part of that person's personality. That means there's a person. That's why we've been teaching all this in DYS. If there is a creation, there has to be a creator. If there is a design, there has to be a designer. If there is a law, there has to be a lawmaker. So here Prabhupada is telling, how can the Lord be impersonal when all these things are there? And another point in the purport is where Prabhupada is telling, where here it is said humanity is his residence. So human being is meant for God realization and association with God. That's what it means. When this is humanity is the Lord's residence, this is what it means here. That, you know, we are meant for God realization, to use our life in the service of the Lord. Text 37. The Virat Purusha's face is the Brahmanas. His arms are the Kshatriyas. His thighs are the Vaishyas. And the Shudras are under the protection of his feet. All the worshipable demigods are also overtaken by him. And it is the duty of everyone to perform sacrifices with feasible goods to appease the Lord. So here the point of service, as I said, there is immature pantheism. Then the mature level is where you see everything connected in the spiritual sense. And the third level is where you are cultivating an attitude of service. So that is also described here. It's said that it is a duty of everyone to perform sacrifices with feasible goods to appease the Lord. So here Prabhupada talks that, again he's stressing, you know, it is stressed in the translation itself, and Prabhupada is also stressing that all the demigods are also already included in the Virat Purusha, so you don't have to worship them separately. And also sacrifice with feasible goods is recommended by the cooperation between the Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas and Shudras. That is explained in detail, and we will cover that part when we are discussing the service attitude. Text 38. I have thus explained to you the gross material, gigantic conception of the personality of Godhead. One who seriously desires liberation concentrates his mind on this form of the Lord, because there is nothing more than this in the material world. Right? So for a material, for a frog, what is the world about? For it's his own body, his own wife and children, and the well. Right? So similarly, for a materialist, there is nothing more to concentrate apart from his own body, his own bodily extensions, and his own and the material world. That is the field in which they operate. And also, it's not like a very huge field. It's not the entire material universe. So basically, the point that is being talked over here is that everything about a materialist is about himself and matter, and the association with matter. So here Sukadev Goswami is saying very mercifully that there is nothing, if you just concentrate on the universal form of the Lord, which contains everything that is there in the material world, there is nothing more left to concentrate upon. So then you can see everything that you are associated with as a part of the universal form. So text 39 we will cover later, but now from 22 to 38 there was this description of the universal form that has been given, and there are very many points that Prabhupada has mentioned. Basically, he's saying the same four points that I covered in the summary of this section in different ways. So we will try to examine those things from Prabhupada's point, like, you know, what Prabhupada wants us to know. So why should we meditate on the universal form from text 22 to 38? So the materialist, we already discussed, the intelligence is flickering. One thing is there are too many objects that we want to enjoy. There's too much passion. There's too much energy that we want to do. For money, a person can fly from the US to, like, so anywhere. They can fly 24-hour flight, 42-hour flight and all of those things. But, you know, would we do that much for devotional service? Right? So the point that is being made here is that there are too many objects of attraction, too many things tantalizing our senses. And so the intelligence is flickering. It's not like a lamp in a windless place. Bhagavad Gita 6th chapter, we have that, right? There is too much going on, and then, you know, the flame is constantly dancing. The mind is going everywhere. So such a mind is very flickering, and it is bewildered by the sense of enjoyment and opulence, bhoga and aishwarya. And 16th chapter, we have a description of such a person. Ishwaroham aham bhogi, jivoham balavan sukhi, all that description, you know, how the materialist plans, how he contemplates sense enjoyment and how he tries to achieve those things. So it's completely absorbed in matter, and we discussed how impersonalism sets in because I think there's this famous thing that all of us know. We start using people and loving things instead of loving people and using things. Right? So that's where that whole impersonalism is coming because of this. And so because that impersonalism is there, that people cannot conceive of the personal form of the Lord. They cannot understand because everything about for them is just matter, matter and matter. As we discussed in the second verse that we discussed today, that the mind does not allow them to come out of this bodily and material conception of life. They cannot conceive there is a Satchidananda personal form of the Lord because everything that they can think about, the baseline is matter. Matter is asat, achit, nirananda. So they cannot think that there can be something sat, chit and ananda. And they also reject the scriptures. Shastra vidyam utsrijya. They completely reject the scriptures. Why? In the second verse, like 1.1.2, where it is about, you know, rejecting the cheating religions. Prabhupada writes down that because sometimes they will follow the religious obligations also. Because why? They want to fulfill their material desires. But later on they say even without doing that, their desires are getting fulfilled. So they give up that also. So then they don't have any civilization or anything to depend upon. And they are completely driven by their own instinct. The instinct is not coming from the Vedas on how to act, how to behave. There's nothing to depend upon. They rely on their own instinct and they're constantly flickering, constantly causing self-destruction and destruction everywhere. They're giving up the goal of life. And then Prabhupada also writes down, he's talking about the different aspects, qualities of the materialist. They always want to see things with their own eyes. They don't understand senses are imperfect. If they see it, then they believe it. So they cannot understand that, no, you know, the Lord is beyond our vision. We have to be blessed by the Lord to be able to see Him. And also they are used to paying homage to the superior material energy, right? Tiger, lightning, elephant. And also I was sharing this yesterday, that when Bill Clinton came to India as the president, I don't know how many visits he's had, but when he came and he was the president, and I was watching the news on NDTV, and I remember Anand Mahindra, the owner of Mahindra and Mahindra, the tractor and the automobile company, he was on the news panel with Pranab Mukherjee, and then he was asking him, how was your experience, you know, all the business delegates were going to meet Bill Clinton. And then he said, yeah, Bill Clinton's a nice man, you know, we can learn things from him. But he said, I don't understand this thing of, you know, these big, big businessmen running after him, trying to kiss his hand, trying to touch him, trying to shake hands with him. And then they showed a video clipping of that, you know, like it's very, you know, these very powerful business magnates, everyone is rushing, you know, when Bill Clinton is walking out of the room, everyone is rushing to touch him, to, you know, show I exist, and all, as if he's going to remember. And as if it matters. What can you do if he sees your face and he shakes hands with you? Nothing is going to happen. But in spite of the Monica Lewinsky scandal, we still appreciate Bill Gates. Why? Because he had this US under his control, under his power and jurisdiction. So that is the nature of a materialist. We have this thing to pay homage to superior material strength. So all of these things that are there, there is impersonalism, cannot recognize the personal form of the Lord. They want to see with their own eyes. They recognize superior material strength. So therefore, they are given this conception of the universal form, where they can see the gigantic body, everything in the material universe as a part of the gigantic body. It's something they can see. Then there is superior material strength all around, and that is a potency of the Lord. So when they learn how to respect that, they are actually respecting the Lord. So they can offer respect to the Virat Rupa. And then Prabhupada says in the purport to text 22, the Lord being, I could not say this in a better way than the way it is, so I just decided to copy and paste the purport here. The Lord being omnipotent can offer His association, I mean not better way, what I meant is I could not summarize this It was very well written, so I said, let me just copy and paste it here. The Lord, being omnipotent, can offer his association by his inconceivable potencies. Offer his association by his potencies. Thus, persons who are unable to pin their faith on the personal feature of the Absolute are given a chance to associate with his Virat Rupa, or the cosmic impersonal feature of the Lord. The cosmic impersonal feature of the Lord is a feature of his unlimited potencies. So since the potent and potencies are identical, even the conception of his impersonal cosmic feature helps the conditioned soul to associate with the Lord indirectly, because the Lord can offer his association through his potencies, and thus gradually rise to the stage of personal contact. So what Sukadev Goswami is giving here is a way to the materialist to change, you know, to change how they see things, to focus the lens in a different way, so that they can see things in a different way. And I put it in a diagrammatic view. Right now, the way this materialist sees things is, he sees only enjoyment. Like you can see, he's seeing the image of a woman. Wherever he sees only sex and money. Right? Now, Sukadev Goswami is giving us an opportunity, giving the materialist an opportunity to adjust the lens by which they can view matter, because they cannot perceive spirit. They are so covered, we are so covered with ignorance, we cannot perceive spirit. Right? So, then, by this different conception, by connecting all these material things, you can see the lens is changing. Now, if you take that conception, you see everything connected with the universal form. One may realize the potency of the Lord, and the potencies are understood as manifestations of the transcendent, the transcendence or the potent. Right? So you change the lens by how you view the world. You see everything in connection with the Lord, with the universal form. Everything is the part of the Lord, is the universal form. And then you might understand there is a potent. So one automatically advances to the next step, which is the full realization of the personal form of the Lord. So this is basically, this entire section is basically trying to explain this particular thing.
And this is a very good device slide, except for the fourth step. So we can cover basically the first three steps in the device slide.
Sure, that's what my husband was telling me yesterday.
Yeah, exactly. We think alike.
Yeah, I just found this nice image, so I thought we can use it like this. So the mind of the material, now this was what Prabhupada has explained in text 22, 23, 24, 25. He's explaining this concept in detail. And then in text 38, at the end of the description of the universal form, where Sukadev Goswami is telling, you know, you see everything like this, there is nothing else to conceive of in this material world. Everything, there's nothing left then. Everything is connected to the Lord. So Prabhupada says that the minds of the materialistic men are flickering, constantly moving from one aspect to another. So he says each and every item of the material manifestation entails a part of the body of the gigantic form. And thus the flickering mind can be fixed in the Lord only and nothing else. So I just put some of the verses that we saw. Like you have the mountains and the stacks of his bones, the planetary systems that were discussed as different parts of his body, the eyelids are both day and night, Yamaraj is the death, is the jaws of his teeth, the moon is the mind, then these beautiful birds and his artistic sense, the trees are the hairs on his body, water, his palate, director of the water. So this materialistic mind, which is so like this, when they start seeing all of these things, the mind starts becoming more and clear, because whatever they understand, whatever materially things they understand, they are in their mind, they are able to connect with the universal form. So the mind becomes more and more clear, and then you see in the middle that person starts seeing God is everywhere. He is able to understand everything he sees, God is everywhere. And then Prabhupada writes down, he continues that particular paragraph, the neophyte student will gradually realize the hymns of Ishopanishad, which state that the Supreme Lord is everywhere. And thus he will learn the art of not committing any offense to the body of the Lord. So from godlessness, they will come to some level of godliness. They will see the God is everywhere. And we are always surrounded by matter. And if everything about matter is connected to the Lord, then we are able to do this. So now, this is of how we see things. Now, how do we use things? That is the next step.
Right now we are drilling parts of the body for oil.
Yes. Yes.
At least from that perspective,
yeah.
It can be complicated.
Keep the questions at hand.
So yeah, this, Prabhupada says, this sense of God-mindedness will diminish one's pride. So once they develop this God-mindedness, then it diminishes the pride. The pride comes down. And thus, one can learn to show respect to everything, For all things are parts and parcels of the supreme body. So you learn to respect everything. So gradually the dirty things start getting cleaned like this. But the second aspect is, one thing is you see everything like this, you see the spiritual connection. But then it's incomplete without the attitude of service. So Prabhupada is telling that visualization in the text 26, he says, visualization of the world in a spirit of lording over is not God realization. See, one may think, oh, like, you know, me and my brother, we're like, oh, this is here, this is this, this is that. But as if, I mean, it's not, we've not changed our lives by knowing these things that we learned at that time. We didn't change our life, we just observed and we moved on, you know. So it's not like, and then we're still continuing, I'm still continuing lording over material nature and so is my brother. So to realize the supreme truth by conceiving of the universal form of the Lord, he must cultivate the service attitude. Without that, you can just understand everything, but you're not making any change in your life. There'll be no change. So we have to cultivate that service attitude. And he says, unless the service attitude is revived, the conception of Virat Rupa will have very little effect on the seer, like how it was for me. So, attitude of service, Prabhupada explains that in text 37, and we already covered that. So, perform sacrifices by cooperation of classes and varnas. So, Prabhupada is telling that don't just offer ghee in the sacrificial fire. Also, learn how to offer other manufactured goods in the propagation of the Lord's glory, and that will bring about perfection in human society. So, otherwise people will say, yeah, I did sacrifice, but I'm not going to give my money, I'm not going to give my time. I do yagya every day, Brahmana comes. Like my aunt, she's into Reiki and all of these things. She does yagya every day in the house. I don't know what she does, but she does something. So, it's not that you just do that and it is enough. Okay, I offered yagya, I'm settled. No, you have to learn how to use everything in the service of the Lord to propagate the Lord's glory, to glorify Lord Shri Krishna. So, we have some of these things I could put there. Your money, your car, your wealth, your different talents that the Lord has given us. We use all of them not for our own glory. Not my name has to be chanted. The Lord's name has to be chanted. The Lord has to be glorified. I don't use all of these things. Like once when I was going for my first DYS, and then Madhav Chandra Prabhu was sharing one prayer with me. He said that before you go, he was sharing how he prays. I was asking him for any guidance. So he was telling, he sincerely prays, like he had other points in the prayer, but I'll just mention one of them. He says, oh Lord, you know, please let me speak not to impress them, but to inspire them to come and serve Sri Sri Radha Nila Madhav. Come and serve you. So again, use everything in, not for, like, you know, my husband always says, you know, when we say, like, we read, right, you know, chant the Lord's glories, discuss his katha, we think that, you know, no, my glories, chant my glories, discuss my pastimes, we like it when the attention has been given to us. But that's not the goal. The goal is whatever we have, we use it in the service of the Lord. So attitude of service from immature to mature pantheism, it was covered by Shyamala, but I'm just putting it here again because the way Prabhupada explained was very nice. I felt it became very clear. So pantheism extends the conception of the absolute truth to the field of material energy. It's not something beyond, like, okay, within this realm, okay, I can perceive the Lord, I can see things. And we dovetail things of matter, everything that is there in matter, through service. And then he talks about the pure devotee who knows how to convert all of these things into for the service of the Lord. But at our level, Yukta Vairagya is difficult for us because we may think we are doing Yukta Vairagya, but it might be for our own benefit. So we do it under guidance. We do it with discussion within the association of devotees, and we do it under guidance. So then text 39. Now after Sukadev Goswami explains this whole thing of what the universal form is and how we can focus, and then he says there's nothing else left then, because everything the materialist associates with is connected with the Lord then. But then at the end of everything he says one should concentrate his mind upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who alone distributes himself in so many manifestations, just as ordinary persons create thousands of manifestations in dreams. One must concentrate the mind on him, the only blissful absolute truth. Otherwise, one will be misled and will cause his own degradation. So this is a message for us. See, he's explaining all of these things, but then he's saying, no, but you should, nanyan, that, you know, that particular word, nanyatra sajje, the last line, is that don't get attached to anything else. Just focus on the Supreme Lord. Otherwise, you will be misled, you will remain in the cycle of birth and death. And the purport, Prabhupada explains that one should become a worshipper of Lord Krishna, or for his, or any of his plenary expansions also. Because he is always transcendental, you worship him and he is everything. Lord is everything. You worship Him. Then we, by our contemplation of the Lord, by worshipping the Lord, we will also get out of this material energy. Otherwise, one is sure to be overcome by the potencies of the material creation, one after another. But then why was it told for the materialist? Why was a materialist told to meditate on the universal form? Any guesses?
Gradual purification.
Yeah, but from where they are, this is a better stage. But for a devotee, if we again start contemplating everything, we may become without... We may just keep contemplating and get lost and lose the service attitude. And we'll not make any progress. And we'll again get caught into matter. So, nan yatra sajjet, important point here is that, nan yatra sajjet, one should not be attached to anyone or anything else but the Supreme Lord, because that attachment, yata, causes one to fall. Like over here, there is this atma patta, right? Nan yatra sajjet yata atma patta. Like you fall down. So, then there is some, in Gurujan Prabhu's book, he's given explanation, Jiva Goswami. So, even after Sukadev Goswami explains everything, he brings us back to the point of Sa. The verse begins with the word Sa, which means meditate upon the Lord. And then, basically, concentration on Virat Rupa will result in concentration on the form of the Lord. But as a devotee, we should not become attached. We understand, we respect, we can teach it, we can share it, and we can also perceive things as part of the Lord. Doesn't mean no, we should not perceive. But you don't get attached to just doing that. There is a higher step at which we should perform. So, practical application. I'll cover 1.1.1 and 2 later. But so one thing that Prabhupada indicates, and also Gurujan Prabhu writes in the book, is that for us, you know, we can take up to the process to the extent our sense enjoyment tendencies have come down. Is it clear? The more the sense enjoyment has reduced, the more we can focus on the Lord. And also it's the other way also. The more we try to focus on the Lord, the propensities for sense enjoyment will reduce. But we have to understand that. So instead of enjoying things around us, we see everything as devotees. We see everything as part of Krishna's energy. And we see how to use everything as part of Krishna's energy. And Harivilas Prabhu always says, right, it all depends on how you see things. And then in one lecture in Srinivas Mallipadi's Prabhu's home, Harivilas Prabhu was talking about some stories from Paris. And then he was telling, it all depends on how you see things. And Namrat Prabhu said, Prabhu, seeing is the problem. But how should we see things properly? Then Harivilas Prabhu said, you know, he said, it's all because we are not seeing things properly. Then we are not able to execute devotional service properly. So Namrat Prabhu asked this question, you know, the seeing problem, how can we fix it? How can we see things properly? And then Prabhuji mentioned that it is by properly hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. That if we hear properly, we can see properly. Because what happens when we follow Srila Prabhupada's process very nicely of chanting, Cheto Darpana Marjanam happens. And when we hear properly, Hridayantasto Hiya Bhadrani Vidunoti. Krishna, if we have that desire to hear, then Krishna personally cleanses the desire for material enjoyment. On our own, can we overcome those different things that we are feeling, the six stages that cause unsteadiness in the initial part? I don't remember all of them, but you know, Vyuda Vikalpa, Utsamayi and Taranga Rangini and all those things. If you read the description of that, it's very difficult to overcome those things, and all of them are there in me. And then I read that, I feel very disheartened that, you know, I can't overcome this. But then when we read second chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, it says that, you know, if you develop that desire to hear, then Krishna will personally cleanse the desire for enjoyment, and then we will reach to anarth nivritti, then there can be steadiness. Otherwise, in this stage, we try to get steadiness, we cannot there. Our steadiness right now, as Ramapan Maharaj explained in the Japa retreat lecture, last lecture he gave, is in constantly trying. We constantly try to follow the principles and process given by Srila Prabhupada to our best. That is our steadiness. Steadiness may not be the stage for us right now, but our steadiness is in constantly trying. And then we see everything as Krishna's energy. We follow the instructions of the spiritual master, and that becomes our meditation. Our meditation is in following the instructions that we have heard very sincerely. So summary, the dirty things of the mind can be cleared by meditating upon the Lord and His potencies. The mind is checked from materialism because you see everything connected with the Lord. So then the propensity to enjoy matter starts gradually going away. And we start developing respect for all the living entities because they are also part and parcel of the Lord. And service attitude, one thing is we understand that. Second thing is because we see the connection, we start serving. And we use the material things we also have in our service. Without that, this going forward in this conception is not possible. And devotee should not be attached to the Virat Rupa. And nanyatra sajjit, we should not become attached to anything else but the Lord, because attachment causes us to fall. And for us, we just follow Srila Prabhupada's instructions very, very nicely to overcome. So then I just thought this. So then when Radha Krishna Prabhu had mentioned, this is funny, but I just thought I'll put it here. He says, so when a devotee sees a pretty girl, he sees her as a gopi of Krishna. He was mentioning that in the text 38. My Sukadeva Goswami says there's nothing else left, right? So when he sees a girl, he sees a devotee of Krishna. When he sees money, he remembers Lakshmi Devi. He didn't say this Lakshmi Devi part, I added it. But that's all right. For me, the change when I came to Krishna consciousness was like, I'll say money, paisa, like this, but then here is like, oh, can you give me the Lakshmi? Can you give me this? I'm like, wow, this is a nice way of, then when you think of it as Lakshmi, you can't use it for your enjoyment. Like that. So, Hare Krishna. I stopped.